Hey guys, what's up? My name is Anthony. Welcome to another edition of BNA Sports Talk. And it is rare for me to say the Giants won a football game yesterday. Now, I had very little faith in us. I had us losing 24-17. But what got me more motivated is everyone who was like, oh, the Giants are trash. I'm going to pick the Eagles. Whenever that happens, whenever you see somebody make a pick, oh, this team is bad, so I'm going to pick the other team. Like, same thing with the Houston Texans. When a bad team is giving points to the other team, you always pick the other team, like the Jets. You know, you always pick the other. When the common thing is just like, oh, that team sucked, that means that they have something in them. When everything is going against them, if it's not like injuries, I guess, if it's not like Baker Mayfield's throwing on one arm or whatever, then actually, well, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but like, I think you get the gist of what I'm trying to say. Backs are against the wall. I started thinking about it. I'm like, Michael Strahan retirement day. I'm like, this defense is going to come. So I pounded the under. I can tell you that much. I pounded the under, made some, I put it in parlays. I'm stupid. I'm like, I like some bets and I put in a parlay and good picks just get wasted. Anyway, so yesterday I was 5-0 with my picks. My friend goes, it's funny because I bet him last week with the Bills and the Colts. He's like, he wanted me to bet Bills -7. I picked Colts +7 and they won by like 3 touchdowns. So they were 7-point underdogs, if you don't understand betting. And they won by 3.5 touchdowns. So I made $10 from him. And then this week, I pretty much laid out my picks in front of my friends. I'm like, what do you guys like? What do you guys don't like? What are you thinking? That sort of thing. And then the same kid goes, I like how you pick the Eagles and the Vikings. Then I swapped those picks. I picked the Giants and I picked the 49ers, and both those are right. And he goes, I'm iffy about Atlanta and I'm iffy about the, what other pick did I have? I forgot what other pick it was, but then both those teams ended up covering the spread. But in the end, I had the Lions on Thanksgiving. I had the Giants +4, so 4-point underdogs, and ended up winning outright. I also had the Miami Dolphins. I had the I had the Vikings, and then I had the Broncos. I had like a late epiphany. I'm like, it's Drew Staley, whatever his name is, John Staley. I don't even know Joe Staley versus Vic Fangio. And I go, well, Vic Fangio knows more of the nuances of this defense, so I think he's just gonna like kill Justin Herbert. And that's what ended up happening. They ended up getting like a fluke touchdown. It was kind of a fluke pick six as well. But the Broncos should have won this game like 35-0. But it's one of those things. But Rashawn Slater, I watched the replay of that game. I'm like, Rashawn Slater just shut them down. Just that right and even interior of the offensive line isn't good. People blame like the Giants for stuff. But no, not all teams have good offensive lines, you know. So that's that. So I end up being 5-0. And if tonight, I'm excited about it. If tonight, if nobody picked Seattle or Washington. So right now I'm tied for the quarterly awards in the betting contest I'm in. We all have 16 points. There are 10 of us. If we, if nobody picked Seattle and or Washington, so if nobody gets a point tonight, basically, and also some people with 15.5 points, we have 16. So maybe some of those people jump ahead of us. But anyway, so if none of those people, you know, advance, that means I win $500 tonight. And it's just a part of the $10 buy-in competition that I'm doing. I'm now 103rd place, technically like 80th place. They just put me in 103rd place because like, I don't even know. technically, the person who's in 80th place has the same amount of points as I do. I don't know why they didn't just say like tied 80th or whatever it is. But yeah, so I'm 5 points behind the leader. Coming into the week, I was 8 points behind the leader. So we are, just a quick betting update, we are doing good. So I kind of want to talk about the game. I really in-depth watched the first two quarters and then kind of just, I didn't feel like rewatching the game because honestly, it wasn't that great of a watch. It's like, it's painful. It's painful to watch. I may go back and watch a bunch of other Giants games now. Now that I have NFL Game Pass, they put it on like sale. Instead of like $90, it was like $50. So I was like, yeah, why not? But I have a couple takeaways from this game. One, Kenny Golladay is not a wide receiver one. People are like, oh, he's the edge of a wide receiver one. He's not a wide receiver one. He's a good wide receiver two. If I had to compare him right off the bat, who would I compare him to? It's like, I'll think of something. I'll think of a guy like an Adam Thielen. You know, a little bit of a little discount version of Alan Thielen. He can't separate. And I listened to the PFF podcast thing. It was when they go, you know, if the number one thing you talk about a guy is a wide receiver is his contested catches, That means he can't separate. You know, you can have a Kadarius Toney that has nice contested catches. Just compare him. Like, remember the Dallas game? You can have a guy make contested catches. But the first thing you mentioned is contested catches. Man, that means he's not good. Like, Julio Jones, you mentioned size, speed. And then you say, oh, yeah, no, he's actually pretty good at the catch point. He can moss some people. But Kenny Galladay, it's all about mossing. It's not like, oh, his speed, his length. It's the first thing you mentioned is his contested catches. Now, he doesn't have quick breaks. He's not deceptive in his route running, his route breaking. And he needs to catch those contested catches more. If you're a contested catches guy, I don't want to see you not drawing penalties. I don't want to see you dropping the 50-50 balls more than 50-50% of the time. If you're a true 50-50 guy, you should be more of a 75-25 guy, closer to that at least. So that was that. And then I also went, so that's been a disappointment of a signing, to say the least. I think our wide receiver core is a good spot, though. Maybe you luck into like a late round draft pick, but I don't think we should focus a lot of attention towards that. You still have Dieslay with another year with us, one more year with us. You still have, you know, Sterling Shepard, but you know, injuries are trying to creep up. But you always want to replenish talent. Like, by the way, our cornerbacks, you know, we were like, oh, why did you draft Aaron Robinson? Well, for that game, you know, he didn't play amazingly. He almost got two touchdowns caught on him to lose the game. It would be a very different thing if he would have caught that pass. Jalen Rager, I think it was. But that's why we drafted Aaron Robinson. You draft good players. Now, the gripe against the Giants was, why did you draft Gary Brightwell instead of Trey Smith in like the fourth, fifth round? Why did you do that? You know, it's there's some offensive linemen that were like, oh, I'm not too sure. But at the end of the day, it's a coulda, woulda, shoulda. If you take a look at this past year's draft, because we're going to continue to talk about, like, why didn't we draft an offensive lineman, an interior guy? Because, by the way, they're not, like, that always great. I'm getting back into football now. That work is, I'm getting more comfortable with work. I don't even know what it is. Is it like a motivational thing? I don't even know. But my life is kind of getting back together, I guess you could say. But Aaron Banks, you know, the guards that were drafted, it's not 100% hit rate, you know? I want to get into those, like, scouting those guys. I'm curious to see how those guys are playing, because I haven't really gotten a chance to watch a lot of NFL this year. I really haven't, and it sucks, because I can't really make informed opinions about anything that much, because I've been so focused towards work. But, yeah, I want to make informed opinions. So, Kadarius Toney, I said we're going to love to learn to hate him. He's been out. We'll have a complete draft review when, like, we talk in the offseason. But Azeez Ojulari, that was a decent pick. I didn't love it, but I'm like, it was pretty good value. Then Aaron Robinson, then Ellerson Smith, we haven't really seen develop mental pass rusher. What do we say we need? A pass rusher. Ellerson Smith had that, you know, high upside. That's a pick you can argue. And then it was Gary Brightwell, and then it was the guy that got injured. Greedy Williams' brother, Rodarius Williams. So, you know, we got a lot of injuries in the secondary, and all of a sudden, these guys come in, and it's like, oh yeah, we have good depth. And that's a good thing that we had, and that's what basically won us this game. What won us this game is that in the third round, instead of going after a guard that might have been there, we drafted Aaron Robinson. But, you know, I guess a guard could have saved us some other games as well. But, there's that secondary point. And then I also want to mention Saquon Barkley. I kind of did a little bit of a deep review. I'm going to do a deeper review. I'm going to make a short out of it. I made a video a couple years ago now about Ezekiel Elliott. Did he lose a step? And I have confidence that Saquon Barkley can get back, but he definitely did lose a step. He's going to have to adjust his play style. He's not going to be able to be a home run hitter, but there's still a place for him on this team. But that place for him is not even a Derrick Henry contract that's, you know, a cheap $12 million deal. And Saquon Barkley, he kind of carries that, you know, bravado about him. He carries that thing. But we have to realize that he's no longer an elite, elite guy. I watched the Steelers game, and I was hoping to see him make some cuts last year, but he really couldn't. Like, it was bad. You guys need to rewatch that Steelers game last year. It was bad. Like, he's getting at 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Like, this is happening this year. And we're like, oh, man, look how bad we... No. Imagine how bad the Eagles game was for a running game. No. You have no idea how bad the Steelers game was. But yeah, he can't really make those cuts anymore. But I think I was overreacting when I was watching the game. When you're watching the game live, it's just like, cut there. But then when you're rewatching it, you go, oh no, he didn't really have space. There was a guy there that's what he saw. But he needs to keep on getting game reps, you know? And it's kind of weird, because the more game reps he gets, I guess the slower he gets. But I think also the faster he gets as well. Like, you'd put more miles on his body, but I think he needs those. I think he needs more game action to get a feel for it, to kind of learn. And we saw him coming back. We saw him getting better, like, as optimistic, just being optimistic Giant fan here. We saw him getting better and better. And then this stupid freaking, whose ankle did he step on? Was it like Shepherd's or Slayton's or Engram's? I don't know who it was. If it was Engram, I think we already know, because we're like, Engram, what are you doing? But yeah, so he's kind of lost his step a little bit, and he still can't block. So what does he do? I mean, I took a look at his PFF grade because I was curious. It's a 61. That's below average. That's a below average starter. I guess an average starter's in the 60s. But yeah, so he's not an elite running back. We need to kind of fade away from that and just have low expectations from him and not expect him to do a whole bunch. But every single time Devontae Booker comes out, I go, oh man, excuse me. I go, oh man, that was a great cut. Saquon Barkley is looking pretty good. And then I realize it's Devontae Booker, you know? So he doesn't really pop off. He doesn't really flash. He doesn't really cut. But I took a look in the past. He never really was that guy. He's kind of more of a burst guy, kind of like a weight, almost like a Le'Veon Bell type, but not as patient. And he just bursts, and it's like, oh shit. But that 32-yard run looked pretty good. It's just that, you know, we want more. And next, I want to talk about Daniel Jones, because we always talk about Daniel Jones, whether he's a guy, not the guy. I'm still leaning towards no drafting a quarterback in the first round. It looks like our draft picks now are going to be more towards the upper 10s. Malik Willis may fall down to us. But I was thinking about, I'm like, who can we get next year? I was thinking about, like, I'm going to make a different video about this. These are kind of just different seeds of videos that I'm planting right now that we'll see in the future. But definitely do check out my YouTube video, you know, Board and Arrow Shorts. I'll make an in-depth. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be one of those people, now that there's a rumor that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be gone in 2022. It makes sense. You know, you want to go all in on Trey Lance. I still think it was a dumb drop. Imagine how dumb you look as a 49ers. They're like, oh, don't draft Mac Jones. That'll be the dumbest decision. I was always leaned towards Trey Lance because he traded all those picks. Imagine trading three first-round picks, using three first-round picks, one to draft them, two to trade up. And then going after a guy, and the Patriots just, like, stand there 15, like, oh, yeah, no, we just dropped Mac Jones. So there's two things about this. Mac Jones versus Trey Lance. So Jimmy Garoppolo, he's pretty much like Daniel Jones. Just he has a pretty sniperish of a ball. If there's pressure in his face, he kind of welts to it, weeps to it. He's less mobile. He's kind of just a game manager throwing dinks and dunks. So Kyle Shanahan doesn't trust him to make deep throws because he's like, oh, he's going to be inaccurate. So he's a less aggressive, I guess you can say. A little bit more accurate on, like, those balls. A little bit stronger of an arm, I think you can say. But definitely as turnover prone as Daniel Jones, especially in, like, the wet weather and pressure in his face. And so everything's perfect for him with the offensive line that's, you know, I guess you could say top 10 in the NFL. And, you know, you can win with him. You know, he wins. That's the difference between him and Daniel Jones. He wins. And that may just be the coaching. I don't know what it is, but I definitely don't want him. Where are they going to look for him? Like a second or third round pick? I don't really want to trade that for Jimmy Garoppolo. It's going to be like Daniel Jones. And it could create competition. That's why I kind of wanted to do it. You have Jerry Sapinski. He can kind of help Daniel Jones. Or what's going to be that case? I'm not too sure if they're just going to cut him, because you can cut him for basically nothing. I think that what's going to happen with Jimmy G is they're going to cut him for basically nothing, and he's going to join a team. Because nobody's going to trade for Jimmy G. Well, who's going to trade? Lions? Texans, who the teams that need a quarterback, or the Dolphins are gonna be like, yeah, I want Jimmy G. Like, yeah, I don't think maybe the Browns, because of Baker, go like, we're not picking that high in the draft. Let's go up to Jimmy G. But in fact, a guy like Sam Howell is gonna drop to that spot, I think. I don't know, but I don't think any team is really gonna trade Jimmy G. So I think it's gonna be a cut scenario. For a second, I thought I wasn't recording. I'm like, oh, what am I doing? I think it's going to be like a cut scenario where a team just picks him up. And the Giants, I think, could pick him up. I wouldn't trade for him. But if you say next year, Daniel Jones versus Jimmy Garoppolo have a cute open QB competition, I think iron kind of sharpens iron. If you take a look at, again, I'm going to do a more detailed breakdown. If you look at their stats, very comparable as far as, like, you know, interception percentage, you know, completion percent, that sort of, I forgot, there was one stat. I was like, they're like exactly the same. But yeah, so Jimmy G is, you know, ultimate professional. He got a team to the Super Bowl. He wins. So it's going to be if Jimmy G joins this team and plays for us and he starts losing, like, a lot, that's really an indictment about Joe Judge. So that can be another litmus test. That'll be another one. And plus, Daniel Jones is known to kind of get injured every so often. So, well, we'll see. We'll see. I think it could be an interesting option for the Giants. And then next about Mac Jones, he's accurate. He's accurate. He's poised. People are like, he's like the most mature rookie I've ever seen. And I don't know what to make of him. I don't. I mean, people say the soul ceiling thing. I kind of think that ceiling thing is stupid. A lot of people think now it's stupid. Like, he has a ceiling. Well, what was Tom Brady's ceiling as a 6th-round pick? Like, what was his ceiling? You know, so, yep, he has a great coach. He's, like, in the perfect scenario. Roses blazing. And he makes the throws. All in this league, you have to make the throws when it matters. Like, Ryan Tannehill, sometimes he makes the throws when it matters. He runs. You know, it is. But, and don't turn the ball over at a high rate. That's the logistics of the league. So, Mac Jones, I was wrong about him. I can say that. And I had one more point that I wanted to mention today. Our pass rush still can't get to the quarterback. I think we need to, you know, instead of dropping a quarterback, address that. That's going to kind of be the point over the next couple months. So, I don't really feel like I needed to say that. But I guess I said it. Anyway, I had a whole list. Oh, okay. I have a list. This is what I wrote for my Let's Be Real list. Barkley sucks. That was a little bit of, that was like the pre-reaction before I watched it into it. We got lucky at times yesterday. We kind of did. I mean, Jalen Hurts just kept on running the ball on us. It wasn't even close. We got lucky from stupid holding penalties that, you know, didn't really affect the play that much. We got lucky with some balls. I mean, a lot of Giants fans are like now, like, Jalen Hurts is awful. No, he's not awful. It's kind of I think it's an overreaction. Like, he can't pass in the pocket. No, Lamar Jackson can't pass in the pocket. He just looks, when you look at Lamar Jackson pass in the pocket, he looks uncomfortable. You know, did you see that lollipop interception they had of Mark Andrews? That didn't even look like a pass. That looked like he was just like, oh, this lollipop. That didn't look like an NFL pass. That looked like, oh, I'm just going to throw it up. Like, you know that feel. He doesn't look like a natural pocket passer. Jalen Hurts has a little bit of that. He just made some dumb throws. Now, it's funny. I like all the Giants memes. If Lamar Jackson would have thrown 4 interceptions in 4 straight drives, he would have been you know, crucified right in Times Square. I just think that's so funny. Jalen Hurts, if he would have thrown 3 interceptions against a rival, I mean, we would have said he sucks. But Jalen Hurts had an all right game. I mean, the Giants just had a good coverage. Like, no guys were open. And when no guys are open, he's one of those guys that can just run for it. He has that instinct. He has that sort of thing. And a couple of drop passes. So I don't think it's as bad as everyone says it is. He's better than I thought he'd be. But people would call him I said he's a glorified Tim Tebow. I like that line a little bit. People said he's a more athletic Tim Tebow. No, he's a more accurate Tim Tebow, actually. I think he's athletic as Tim Tebow. He's a little more accurate. He has that athletic instinct that in the fourth quarter when nobody's open, when the offensive line sucks against the Chiefs with a minute left, he's going to be able to at least try to get you a little close. So that's what Jalen Hurts is. What was my next point on this list? We got pushed around. We did. It was kind of embarrassing. Like, you can't, like, with the Jimmy Garoppolo point, if you bring a quarterback in here next season, it's going to be the same thing. You have to fix that interior. That's the number one goal for this team. I don't care if it's either Nick Gates, Shane Lemieux. I don't care who it is, but you really have to just overcorrect that. Don't do a Chiefs where you're trading, like, first-round picks for Trent Brown, but, you know, and don't address other things that are wrong with this team. But, you know, that's something you really, really have to look for. I also had the Kenny G point. Thomas is the only O-line piece that we have right now. He had a really good game, had that one holding penalty. But, you know, everyone makes mistakes. He had a really good second-level block that I saw, just completely plowing guys. I think the guy was trying to set the edge, but still, like, he's just dominant. He's really coming into his own. I really like that pick, and it's just one of those things that I'm just happy. I just got to stay healthy. We should, this is one of those points, we're a game out of the playoffs now, and we should be 6-5. like, how do we lose? Like, Eli Manning day was like a nonchalant day. It was truly Eli Manning, like, all shucks. Eli Manning was quite all shucks, but it was like, you know, I guess we lost. And then Strahan is like, we're gonna stomp them out. And it was such a, you know, it's Michael Strahan game, let's just say that. We should be 6-5. We should have beat the Falcons, and the refs shouldn't have called Dexter Lawrence offsides, you know? And by the way, Dexter Lawrence is kind of disappointing, man. He's kind of just disappointing. I need to watch him more in depth, but and maybe it's double teams. But I remember one play, Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence just got blown off the ball. Why can't we have that? What's up with other teams and just having the big guys? And it's going to be cool to see how our offensive line, because we have that piece in Andrew Thomas. And all of a sudden you get Evan Neal, who I watched him versus Auburn. He was shutting people down. And we saw he's a left tackle now, but he's played all around the line. Even Penny Sewell has really, you know, evolved to that right tackle spot. So things are looking up. 9-10 under the Joe Biden regime. I don't even know. My friend just texted me something. But QBR, and this is a final point. QBR does not like Jones. It does not like Daniel Jones. And then what did I put? He needs to read the field better. Kind of stares down wide receivers. I took a look at, you know, Justin Herbert. He's looking to the right, looking to the left, not really staring down anybody. I feel like that's why the Giants don't really trust him in that way. They don't really trust him to break down coverages and things like that. And, yeah, there's some plays, but I remember last year there was always one deep shot. What's up with the lack of deep shots? There's just so much that I want to learn. I'm like motivated now to see, but like, you know, is it that nobody's open? I want to see somebody chart all the routes, and I'm curious, why are we not throwing it down the field that much? Why are we not? Is that why we got Kenny Galladay? I felt like we used him, we mixed him out well. Daniel Jones, people are like, oh, that Daniel Jones pass was inaccurate thrown behind Kenny Galladay. No, that was a perfectly thrown ball. Because if you would have led Kenny Galladay, he would have got lit up. That was a really well thrown ball. What did I put here? So first of all, I want to mention this before I forget. He needs to lob the ball more. He throws too many line drives and not too many lobs. He needs to know when to oop, beep it in. And that's something he's always struggled with. Like that 50-50 to Kenny Galladay. And I think that's only going to get better because Kenny's like, hey, listen, I want you to throw it up a little bit. Not Lamar Jackson style, but I want you to throw it a little up a little bit. And then here's the question. Can he execute offense like Brady? Is winning now good? Okay. Oh, is winning? Oh, that's my next point. Is winning now good for us because of the draft pick? I don't know, but I like winning, so we'll just keep on winning and let the chips fall where they may, a la Chase Young, Andrew Thomas. And then, can he execute an offense? That's the main question you want to say. Can he execute an offense like Tom Brady? Can he do what Brady did to the Giants? And I think he can, with no pressure in his face. I think he's a smart enough guy. Like ultimate athlete instinct. You know, is he ever going to be Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady? No. But, you know, Eli Manning had those peaks, you could say. But, you know, Nick Foles. I mean, Nick Foles had just epiphanies of greatness. And I think we've seen that already from him. So, you know, I don't know. But he's getting better, but the stats aren't really showing that. I think he's getting better as far as pocket presence, knowing the pressure in his face, he's no longer, I mean, they're always quarterbacks that are going to be completely naive to pressure because the guy gets there so quickly. He's like, okay, he trusted his blind side. But I took a look at his first game again, and he was just like, oh, oblivious. He was just too worried about completing the pass. So he's good with running out of the pocket now. He's advancing the chains, and he's no longer a number one running back. That's been that for a couple weeks. But he's trying to take that reign back. He's only 50 yards short now. But that's pretty much all I got. What's the length of this? Oh, yeah. Pretty even, I guess. A little bit longer than what I usually like. But I don't enjoy stopping videos. Now, the thing is, about a month ago, I wasn't really watching games at all. So it's kind of hard to make longer form videos because I didn't really know what I was talking about. But I still don't. I want to watch games. I listen a lot. But sometimes when I watch football games, honestly, just to be honest with you, I kind of fall asleep because it's like there's so many things that you're focusing on. It's tiring. Believe it, like watching, analyzing games, it's tiring to look at every single position. And then all of a sudden me, I'm like, oh, I wonder how this guy's doing. And then I flip to another game because I'm bored of watching this one. But because I just want to know. But at the end of the day, my betting has been better than ever now that I'm watching it. Not really anything. But I hope you guys did enjoy this video. Let me know what you guys think, and I'll see you guys in my next one. Bye, guys.